Genesis 22, getting back to this passage of Scripture, and I trust that you are well acquainted with where we are here in Genesis 22. If not, we will reacquaint ourselves here in just a little bit. The Bible says in verse number 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and the knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Let the church say amen. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. I pray, God, that you would cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing like only you can through me. Bind the devil, keep him from interfering in this service tonight. Lord, may this not just be the passing of time, but may you change us more into the image of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We're back here in Genesis 22 as we preach verse by verse through this first book of the Bible, traveling our way through the life of Abraham, looking in, if you would, on his final exam. As I've mentioned, Abraham had gone through a number of tests at this time. Some he had passed, some he had failed. But nonetheless, even when he had failed, he had risen back up, gotten back in the classroom, and endured what he needed to endure to keep passing these tests by serving Almighty God. The family test, the famine test, the fellowship test, the fight test, the fortune test, the fatherhood test, the farewell test. They were all leading him up to the final test. And by the way, where you are today, God has already prepared you for it yesterday. He knows what he's doing. So don't ever underestimate or belittle the significance of every moment in your Christian life. If we're not careful, we will begin to categorize moments in our Christian life as big and small and meaningless and significant. I won't tell you, the day you got saved and the Holy Ghost began to live inside of you, the day you became a child of God, the day your name got written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, the day you were passed from death unto life, there is no such thing as an insignificant day. Every day in Christ is a big day. So never think, I can take time off. This is not a big service. This is not a day. This is not a big moment in my life. I don't seem to be facing a big trial. Listen to me, every day we wake up, we're in the classroom. Every day we wake up, we're learning from Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Listen to me. Every moment is a teaching moment. By the way, don't just have your pen and paper out when you come to church. Take notes in your mind and in your heart. Every day, every step of the way, God is teaching you. He is guiding you. He is leading you. He is proctoring you. He is directing you. He is preparing you. And by the way, thank God that when the test is rendered, God has made us ready. And now Abraham, every step along the journey, God was getting ready for this one. Now whether he passes or not has nothing to do with God's preparation, has everything to do with Abraham's execution. And where you are today, you are ready by the grace of God to pass the test. If you fail, you'll have no one to blame but yourself. So we saw in this final test, the supreme proctor, God, was initiating it. This, by the way, this was not a scenario of fate, okay? Abraham didn't run into some unexpected danger and almost lose Isaac's life. This was a test that God proctored. And let me tell you something. There are a lot of things in our lives we'd like to give the devil credit for, but sometimes there are some things in our lives that we're facing that are tough that the devil did not do, God did. Now, God will never tempt you to sin, but God will test your faith. And Abraham's faith is being tested here. The supreme proctor was God. The significant price was Isaac. This was a big deal. Final tests always involve a big price. The submissive procession was Abraham, knowing the price, knowing what was at stake, got up and began to obey. He started heading where God sent him. Submissiveness is imperative to serving God. There will be times when God asks you for more than you think you should give. There will be times when God puts you through things that are bigger than you think you can handle. There'll be times even when God asks you for things that you thought were so miraculous that you received them. But my friend, don't you ever, regardless of how hard, how confusing, and how unaware you are, don't ever question the leadership of God. And now, if you would, during this submissive procession, we've seen his prompt response. He got up early. If you would, we saw his prepared readiness. He did what he could. We saw his personal responsibility. He excused all his onlookers because he had to embrace his obligation. There was an expected outcome. You abide here, the lad, and I'll be back. Somebody say amen. And he didn't understand it, but he expected God to come through. That's part of faith. Faith is an expectancy. Amen. We've got to believe that. David said in Psalm 42, hope thou in God. That word hope there means a confident expectation. By the way, there's enough that God has done in the past that ought to be able to channel our proper expectation in the future. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Amen. He's been faithful every step of the way. Now somebody's in a valley and somebody's facing a test and somebody's going through a trial and there are a bunch of unknowns on paper. There are a bunch of what ifs on paper. There are a bunch of human possibilities on paper. But you've got to put the paper down and you've got to exercise faith in the character of Almighty God. Now listen now. I don't know what the news going to do. I don't know what the president's going to do. I don't know what the allies going to do. I don't know what the adversary's going to do. I don't even know what God's going to do. But I'm convinced that what whatever he does, it's going to be good. You've got to believe that. I and the lad come back. How are you going to do it? I don't know. But I plan to come back. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things hoped for. Well, Pastor, I don't know what's going to happen. That's where you plug in faith. Faith is what you fill in the blank with. Amen. At the end of the month, I got to pay my bills. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. No, you can figure out how you pay your bills. You just put faith in there. Well, I've got a situation I'm facing and I don't know how it's going to work out. Well, when you can't fill in the blanks, you just fill in the blank with faith. It is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Whatsoever not is faith is sin. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek. Listen to me. If you need the answers before you move, it's not faith. And I've known some Christians that were going to do that, been going to do something for a long time, ain't never did what they're going to do because they're too busy waiting for the blank to fill in instead of realizing that faith fills in the blank. Somebody say amen. So he's moving. The partnering requirement is that there's an intimate connection with him and Isaac, and there's an imperative cooperation. Isaac's got to get in on this too. It's a grown boy. And really, he's a grown man. Sources tell us he's perhaps 21 years old. So God gave the word to Abraham. Abraham gives the instruction to Isaac. And if this thing's going to work, Abraham's got to believe that God said something to his daddy, and Abraham's got to get in on what God's doing. Amen. And by the way, that happens a lot in life. There are some times that somebody that is standing on your behalf before God gets a word from the Lord. And sometimes their word can only be followed through when you cooperate with the word from the Lord. I'm not talking about prophets and apostles. I'm just talking about a wife saying, I'm in it with my husband. A church member saying, I'm in it with my pastor. Amen. A child of God saying, I'm in it with the work of God. I don't need the ins and outs, the I's dotted and the T's crossed. I just need to know that God said it, and that settles it. The perplexing reaction of Isaac, if you would, I'm moving. Isaac looking around, and this might be where somebody is tonight. The fire, I see it, verse 7. The wood, I see it. But where's the lamb? No, wait a minute. No, listen. Daddy, you say we're going to sacrifice. And I've been around you long enough to know that in order to sacrifice, we need an animal. Now the wood, that'll work. And the fire, that's going to work. But if we're going to burn an offering, we need an offering to burn. This is perplexing, isn't it? And maybe you're there tonight. I know I'm serving God. I know I'm reading my Bible. I know I'm praying. I know I'm in church. I know I'm raising them right. I know I've asked you what I should ask. I know that I brought the tithe into the storehouse. I know I've shared the gospel. I know I've been effectual and fervent. I know I've taken you at my word. God, we're at the stage. We're at the time where the setup is set up. But where is the sacrifice? Listen to me, beloved. There will be times along life's journey during the final exam where it will seem like something's missing. God, I've taught, I've trained, I've exemplified. But why is it this child serving you? I've prayed, I've fasted. I've begged, and according to my prayer, it lines up with your will. Why haven't you answered it? This is where we are. Listen, if you want me to think you're so spiritual that you never get perplexed, you're lying to yourself. The problem is that perplexing reactions are not often met with persuaded, if you would, resolutions. Did you hear that? Perplexing reactions are not met enough with persuaded resolution. What do you mean? Abraham said, verse 8, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now, that may seem too general for you, but I'm going to tell you something. General statements about God go a long way specifically. God will provide himself a lamb. Now, let me see if I can kind of read into Abraham's thinking without sacrificing context. God, Isaac, I can only tell you what I can tell you. I don't have specifics. I can't give you explicits. I can't even predict how the story's going to come out. But I've learned enough about God to tell you, God will provide himself a lamb. Wait a minute now. Himself is the key word there. Here's what I'm telling you, Isaac. I'm not worried about the outcome, because the reason why I got in this thing is because God put me in it. He is bound to come through. This was his idea, his plan, He designed it. He thought it. He directed it. I didn't come up with this on my own. I didn't make this up. I'm not being innovative. I'm not out here experimenting. I'm not out here trying my own theory. God gave me Isaac. God tested me. God said, go kill him. God picked the spot. God picked the plan. Now my back's against the wall. If God began a good work in me, he will perform it. You better get that. And I tell you, we're living in a day and age where the children of God have lost their persuasion about God. You're never going to be able to persuade yourself to do anything if you're not persuaded about your God. This is why Christians are so shifty and so fickle and so avoiding when it comes to conflict. They're so quick to run, duck, and hide because they have failed to believe God will provide. And by the way, fooey with you just don't know how bad my circumstances. Could I tell you, you got in this thing because of God. Listen, when you couldn't save yourself, you couldn't redeem yourself from sin. When you fell short of the glory of God, God provided a lamb. When you were dead in your trespasses and sin and on your way to a devil's hell, God provided a lamb. When there was no way you could produce your own faith until faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God, God provided himself a lamb. When you couldn't write your own name in the Lamb's book of life, God provided himself a lamb. And by the way, plenty of times since you've been saved, your back's been against the wall. The devil's been on your tail. The Red Sea's been in front of you. And time after time after time, God has provided himself. I'm just trying to remind you, not about my testimony, but about your own testimony. Did he do it before? He'll do it again. The question is never in the ability of God. The question is in the faith of the believer. And God is testing your faith. And oftentimes, you tap out because he has pushed you further this time out of your comfort zone. And by the way, as long is you've got anything but God to depend on, it really doesn't require faith. You know what we do? We insulate ourselves with crutches and contingency plans and backups and replacements and substitutes. And what had happened was, you understand me? We never want to move too far from the dock that we've got to put faith in God that we're going to make our way out. So we hang around the shallow end. So in the event we do fall off the boat, it's not too deep for us to walk. I'm telling you, you can hang around the shallow end if you want to. But if you hang around the shallow end, your perspective of God's going to be shallow. And there's a reason why so many Christians have been saved for 5,500 years and they still think God is about this big, because they've never gotten so far out deep where the only way you could be found is that God sent those rescuers out where you were, knew where you were, and brought you back in when nobody else. Let me tell you something. I'm determined by the grace of God to go out in the deep end with God, so that when I need to be saved, only God can do it. Amen. So at some point, you're going to have to push away from the dock. And by the way, because God knows, our tendency is not to push away on our own. He assimilates circumstances in our lives where we're forced to push away by his prompting. And at that point, we'll find out whether what you've been saying is faith in your Sunday night testimonies really is. So the unseen answer was met with unquestionable assurance. Look, if you would, at number four, at the successful performance. Okay, I'm going out on a limb with nothing but God. That's right, Abraham. That's what I intended at chapter 22, verse 1. That's what a final exam is. Wait a minute now. Look here just a moment. You can fail to study, skip class, sleep when you're in class, accidentally pass a 5-question quiz. But if you ain't study, you ain't come to class, and you weren't awake when you were in class, you ain't gonna do that on the final exam. It's too many questions. You can fake your way past 2 or 3 true or falses because 50% chance you got it right. But the final exam has essays, multiple choices, fill in the blanks, and did you read the material? Amen. So if you weren't a good student, you won't ace a final exam even though you may pass a pop quiz. And that's why a lot of Christians think they're good Christians, because all they take are pop quizzes. And then this big exam comes along the way, and the brethren drop their jaw and go, Sister Spiritual, I can't believe she's collapsing. This is the first time Sister Spiritual has had a final exam. That's why, and by the way, you don't know when it's coming. Now, I said that God prepared you. That's right. The teacher was teaching, the assignments were given. If you didn't do them, that's not God's fault. If the class was going on and you were asleep, that's not God's fault. Be careful sleeping in church. You might get tested on the sermon tomorrow. I'm dead serious. I mean, there have been times. Anybody in here ever experienced the time when you were most tired, most frustrated, and most intent on not coming? You got there. It was the time you needed the message the most. Somebody say amen. Can I tell you, God's not a voodoo doctor. He actually wants you to be ready for the exam, but he's not going to take your blame when he gives you the material, but you fail to take advantage of it. I'm telling you, Abraham's taking advantage of it. Notice the exact arrival. This is his successful performance. Verse 9. And they came to the place. Finish the verse for me, would you? Which God, what? Yes, 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 yes. Are you going to go all the way? That's a literal student right there. I like that. I should have said finish the phrase. And they came to the place, phrase, which God had told him of. I talked to somebody today. The statement was, yeah, you kind of along the lines, yeah, you're right. I'm going to quit trying to figure out all these ideas of the will of God and understand that the will of God for me right now is the place where he told me of. I think if we're not careful, we'll want so many specifics about the will of God. Can I tell you what the will of God is? The will of God really is a place. I'm convinced that there are Christians that are convinced that 5 years from now they're going to be in the will of God. And my argument is, you will not be in the will of God wherever you make that idea in 5 years if you're not in the will of God right now. It's the place where God's told you to be. And everybody is enamored by the destination, but few people are committed to the journey. I mean, when we set our sights on going to a restaurant or going on vacation, we look at all the pictures of the food, of the resort, of all of the sights. And what we fail to realize is you ain't going to enjoy none of it if you don't make the drive. Now listen to the scripture. They arrive at the place God told them of. I'm telling you, there are too many people of God in 2018 that are trying to pull off the will of God in the wrong place. You've got to be where God tells you. For a child, that place, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a lawyer, I'm going to be a teacher, I'm going to be a scientist. You better be obedient to your parents. That's the place. You can write all them things up on a napkin. You can tell them to your little friends. You can pick the wedding dress. You can pick how many boys and girls you're going to have. You can pick your job, pick your house, and you can pick your picket fence. But I'm here to tell you, the will of God's not that way. It is a process. It is a journey. And before Abraham is going to accomplish the end of the will of God, he must be in the right place. God help us. This is spiritual business. the exact arrival. I'm just telling you that we got to quit looking at the big moments in these Christian characters' lives and understand that big moments in people's lives are only the culmination of a lot of little moments. Did you miss that? I've been there. I remember I used to sit as a kid and watch my daddy preach. Oh, I could pastor like that. You know what I was thinking of? I could stand up behind the pulpit for 35 minutes and preach. I found out about 7 years ago, there's a whole lot more to pastoring than 35 minutes of preaching. See, there are a lot of little moments that lead up to that big moment. See, you can't just get up in 35 minutes and do 35 minutes of big moments if you haven't spent any time, little moments, studying. If you haven't gotten up in the morning and prayed. If you won't, you can't get messages if you ain't reading from the textbook. Somebody help me preach. Oh, I just want God to use me like that. Well, bless God. It's more than working a mic and having a soundtrack and holding the note. It's about being cleansed of sin and filled with the Spirit and emptied of yourself. And let me tell you, you can fall in love with platform moments and spotlight moments and amen moments and clap, clap moments. But you better learn to fall in love with the little moments, like being in the place where God told you to do, like getting the stuff that God told you to do. Everybody wants to have wonderful financial stability one day, but few want to tithe. You got the stuff that doesn't get announced. The stuff that most preachers never preach about in Genesis 20. You know what we preach about? And Abraham went up to the mountain and there was a lamb. And everybody goes, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Let's talk about that early in the morning, get up. Let's talk about telling all the boys to stay while me and him go. Yeah. Those are little parts that don't make the sermon outlines, but I'm telling you something. If there's no get up early in the morning, if there's no make a long journey, if there's never walk to be tired, a lot of people like long journeys to go places they want to go, but very few want to take long journeys to go places they don't want to go. When you got to go out of your way to kill your son, that's not very fun. But it's the will of God. We've got to learn how to embrace the journey. I guarantee you, it would be perplexing. I don't even know if that's the best word. I think it would be deeply disappointing if we got a legitimate poll from the average independent fundamental Baptist church as to how many of its church members don't read the Bible every day. I'd like to poll the choir members and ask you if you know your Bible as well as you know your lyrics. Because I'm trying to tell you, you can sing a song for 5 minutes, but that will not fare in the real world unless you committed to that book. And you gotta want that. You gotta desire that. These home runs and these knock it out the park, they're great. But there's a whole lot of swing and a miss before you're hitting it every time. And I think some Christians don't like the swinging practice because it's not fun. And nobody comes out to watch you swing practice. But you're developing character. Somebody say amen. God's trying to develop character. Otherwise, you're going to fail. And if you fail, the further along in life you fail, the bigger the stakes are. That's why great preachers have fallen. Amen. And it's not because they didn't know the Bible. It's because they fell in love with the public image and they were never committed to personal integrity. Be careful when you're looking up here saying, shame on that person. You might be next. It can happen to anybody. Failure is no respecter of persons. I didn't intend to be here this long on this. I'm not apologizing. I just wanted to tell you my intentions. The exact arrival. Notice the erected altar. God, give me a break. Do you understand that he's setting the stage to kill his son? Whew. I don't know about you. If I got to do this, man, I'm telling you, I'm getting this thing as quickly and as unorganizedly done with. Listen, he was as intent and diligent on his worship when it came time to give up his son as he would have if he had an animal? Some of you are missing that. I'm asking you, will you be as excited about worshiping God when it cost you the most as you were when it cost you the least? People are quick to volunteer to stuff that don't cost them much. Now, when is your child? Amen. You let them teenagers come back from youth conference and let several of them come forward and say, God called me to the mission field. And I guarantee there'll be parents all around the building say, "Woo! Praise the Lord," till it's your child. Well, I don't know about that, baby. You sure God called you? I want you to watch Abraham getting his altar together. Let's erect the altar. Let's make this thing right. Make this thing right. If there were an innocent bystander that walked up on Abraham and said, "Sir, why are you working so hard at that altar?" "Because I'm going to put my son on it and kill him." When you put something in that really cost you, do you put forth your best effort then? Wow. The exact arrival, the erected altar, the executed arrangement. Verse 9, laid the wood how? In order. Just because I got to give up something that I want to keep doesn't mean I should be half-hearted about it. Here we go, back to church again. You may not be feeling good, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't sing your best. I'm talking about congregation too. Well, it's only Wednesday night. We don't have to be all loud. How you sing has nothing to do with the day of the week. It has everything to do with who you're singing to. Amen. Lay the wood in order. Just because this time I've got to sacrifice Isaac doesn't mean God doesn't deserve my best. You'll be tested, beloved. I'm tested all the time. You have to. God's going to find out whether you're doing it because you like how things are going, or you're doing it because you love who told you to do it. Whether you're singing in church or you're teaching six kids downstairs, you're doing it for the Lord. Put the wood in order. Whether you're preaching to 4 men at men's prayer or to 200 men at watch night service, set the wood in order, because ultimately the audience that matters the most is God. Amen. My. I'm closing. The essential agreement and bound Isaac, his son. Isaac has to let daddy bind him and lay him on the wood. He's in agreement. He's in agreement because he loves God. He's not in agreement because he's ready to die. He's not in agreement because he's challenged and he really doesn't know what's happening. At the bottom of the mountain when he said, "Daddy, where's the sacrifice?" He didn't know. But now there's no more putting it off. We're actually up here. We got the wood. We got the altar. And here comes crunch time, son. Extra, extra. Read all about. You are the sacrifice. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, I'm thinking, this is just pastorology. That grown man had to have seen enough of God on his daddy to cooperate. "Daddy, I don't understand why in the world you tie me up on a rope and lay me down on this altar. It doesn't seem paternal. It doesn't seem right. Everything about our relationship contradicts this moment. But there's one thing I've learned since the moment I've been born. You've always followed God's leadership. You've always respected God. He didn't tell me, but I've seen enough of him on you to believe he told you." Could I ask you a question? And I'll close here. Is there somebody that is cooperating with God's leadership in your life because they've seen God on you? How hard is it for you to get somebody to come to church that knows you? Extremely hard, Pastor. Maybe they won't believe you because they haven't seen enough God on you. Our children are watching. Those that we lead to the Lord are watching. And here's a boy, a grown man, stronger than his daddy, with the physical prowess to call this whole thing off. And then he lets his daddy bind him. Amen. Sounds like another son I know, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the cross. Wherefore God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He went as a sheep goeth to the slaughter. He was reviled, but he reviled not back again. He went willingly to the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no way you and I could have been saved unless the Heavenly Father and his wonderful Son did this thing together. It's the picture of how God's will works. He has the plan. But it's up to us to cooperate with our performance. And I wonder tonight, are you fighting the ropes? Are you bucking being tied down? Because God's plan doesn't fit your preference. Well, the next time you start bucking, and by the way, God won't necessarily take away your capabilities to buck, but the next time you fight against his plan, just remember, were it not for the God-man who was co-eternally existent and equal to his Father, were it not for him humbling himself and becoming subservient to his Heavenly Father, to whom he did not have to submit, you and I would be going to hell. And if God can become obedient, I think it's about time we did too. Our Father, help us. We're often just kind of in the middle. And then crunch time comes and God goes, let's find out if you're for real. Thank God that Isaac saw enough in Abraham to cooperate. Somebody's watching us. And may they always see something in us that makes them want to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand together if you're not praying.